like to start in 2 Kings chapter number 7. Just read a couple verses here. I won't read much. 2 Kings chapter number 7. When you're there, please say amen. Verse number 5 reads, "They rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians." I want you to look at the first part of that. "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians." Verse number 7. "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight." First one is talking about the four lepers. They decided to go from the outside of the city to the inside at twilight. Then, verse number 7 reads, "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight." Talking of the king and his armies and the people that's inside the city. So at the same time these four lepers put forth an effort, something happened and God got in it and fled the whole army out, but just four lepers. The very same time, you still believe that one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. But we got to do something. Nothing happened until they put forth that first effort. Book of Nehemiah, verse number 2, when you're there, please say amen in the first chapter. "That Hananiah and one of my brethren came, and he certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity therein, there in the providences, are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also are broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Verse number 4, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed." That's the sign of a burden. Have you got them? He wept. He mourned. He fasted. And he prayed. Ask yourself, do you have those signs of a burden? Chapter number 2. I won't read much here. I just want to get into this the best I can. Starting in, there's a period of time that elapses when he begins his praying. I believe it's pronounced Nisan is the month, which is the first month of the Jewish calendar. And it goes down to the fourth month. And so for 4 months he prays, fasts, and he wept before God. To try to get this burden for God to move. But I want you to notice, he was willing to do something. Verse number 3 of chapter number 2, "And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant has found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." Do you see what's happened? I'll get into this in a minute. The king has noticed that he is under a burden. He says, "What's the matter with you, man?" And in all this, Daniel is praying for the Lord to make a way that he could go do something. And the king notices, and they said, "How long are you going to be gone?" And Nehemiah was not sure how long it was going to take him. But he said, "It pleased the Lord, so I set a time." But I really believe that deep inside of Nehemiah, he did not even know if he would make it back. He was willing to take a chance to lose his life, to do something for God's sake. And he had an attitude, and I've preached along these lines, never exactly like this. But I saw an attitude here in the four lepers and an attitude in Nehemiah that I like to preach on that we need. It's better to die there than to live here. Would you stretch forth your hands one more time and ask the Lord to help us? Father, we love you, appreciate you, Lord. Lord, we're a little slow getting into this, but we know, Father,
touch it.
We feel that the touch of God, that it is the will of the Lord to preach along these lines. We believe that you're able to help us, and the church said amen. Amen. Nehemiah was a man that had made it to the top of his game. We're not told whether he was born there or really much about his history. We know that some degree he had some dealings and background with the Jews in Judah. But we do not know if he was born and given this position of the cupbearer or if he was working his way up the corporate ladder and had made it there. But nevertheless, he had ended up at the top of his game. For a cupbearer in those days was a man that had great prestige, a man that was very, very honorable in his particular society and in his place. And what happened here was Nehemiah now has got to the place where he's sleeping in the king's bedrooms in his chambers every night, and he's eating from the king's table. And Nehemiah now has access to the king every single day. For few people in that time period could have access to the king like Nehemiah did. And Nehemiah also, he was enjoying the pleasures of the palace. He had the protection of all the king's men. He had the protection of all the palace. But there was something that happened. The word of the Lord came to him and said, "Nehemiah, the walls are broken down and the gates are on fire." And this burden begins to strike Nehemiah's heart like it should ours when we begin to look around and see the climax and the reality of our people and our church world in general, of how that it is slowly declining and the morals are slowly leaving our people. Would somebody say amen? So Nehemiah gets his burden. He weeps and he prayed and he fasts. And this is always the sign of a burden. And I'm afraid I'll get into this. I got so much preaching to do here tonight. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I believe that if there's something that we're missing, that we would have to be honest. It's a true, genuine burden for those that are out there that's not in the fold tonight. That we are, yes, we care about them to some degree. And yes, we are concerned about them, but could I ask us tonight, have we got the genuine burden that it's going to take to see the walls built back in our generation? I believe that we would have to answer the question, no. We really don't have what we need to get done what needs to get done. You see, I want to try to get this across to you. There was an importance here of the standard, the wall that was around them. And all of a sudden, it was no longer funny for Nehemiah and those to make fun of the walls. For now they seen that the city of Jerusalem and the walls were broken down, and the enemy had free course to run in and out inside the city.
and to do anything that it had pleasing to do. Oh, but I want you to know tonight that this began to move the heart of Nehemiah. For he knew now that the enemy could do anything he wanted to because the walls were broken down. I want to tell you tonight, I'll get to where I'm going in a minute, but I'd like to stop here and tell us there's some standards in the church that are very, very important. And it's so easy for us to laugh at them and make fun of the holiness preacher when he stands up and preaches on certain things and to make light of it. But can I tell you, my friend, if we really saw the need for that wall to be there and to try to keep the enemy out, what he was going to do to us whenever he got on the inside and began to destroy us from the inside out, our burden would begin to grow and we would no longer make light of the preaching of the gospel and we would no longer take it for granted how that the preachers must tell us that you don't need to go there and that you don't need to have this. My Lord, I know I've begin to feel like preaching now. I'm beginning to feel the Lord touch me. But I must warn us, church, we better have a burden for walls to be around our church and for our preachers to preach the standards of God. For if we fail to have those, there'll come a time, you listen to me, there'll come a time that the enemy will march from the outside and come in among us and destroy us from the inside out. Although Nehemiah saw the importance of the wall, there was still yet more that was that I would like to bring out to us tonight. You see, for the first part of this, his journey was going to take him over 1,000 miles to get from the palace of Shushan all the way over to where he was needing to go back into Judah. But can I tell us tonight that there was an attitude in him that is missing inside of some of us tonight, and that attitude was, I I'm making an effort for God than to stay right here where I am in this place of do nothing. Come on now. I feel like preaching a little while here. I want to preach to me and you that there's an attitude that the church is looking for. For he knew that the savages of that day across his 1,000-mile journey was going to take him out if he was not mighty careful. Lord, I wish I could preach to you. But now we find him making his journey across through there, and he knew that there was a good possibility that once he got to the Judah, that those enemies that had tore the walls down was going to destroy him. But my friend, he was willing to take a chance. Brother Derry, he said it's better to die over there. I'm making an effort for God than it would be for us to stay right here where we've been all this time. Somebody say amen. You see, I want you to listen to me tonight. I know we ain't shouting, but I'm trying to sow some seed while the wind ain't blowing. You see, Nehemiah understood that to get the job done where I am right now, the work can God get done from here. If anything's going to get done, I'm going to have to get up and go to where the work is. I'm right here with you. And there's one pointing at you. There's three pointing back at me. Come on now. And I'm not you or you. But can I tell us, and you agree with me, at where we are right now, the work could never get done. It needs to get done spiritually where some of us are. And no more than we are praying. And no more than we are fasting. And no more than we are burdened for the Lord. The work that needs to get done is never going to get done unless we stand up and decide that we're going to march toward the city and see what we can do for the Lord. Comfort zone message. But I've sat in this same pew for years. It's got my name on it. Wouldn't it do us good to do something different? Lord, I... You know what a mama eagle does to her eagles when they won't get out of the nest? She starts stirring them up, don't she? What do you think I've been doing around here the last 2 or 3 days? I've been trying to stir you up. Yeah, you know, it's amazing, Brother Jerry. Some folks will never do nothing until you make them mad. They'll never pray about it. They'll never think about it until you rock their boat and their boat's about to tip over. And all of a sudden, they'll get serious about it and they'll begin to think, I'd better get out of here. And my Lord, help me while I preach tonight. I said, there's an attitude that we're in need of. We'd rather do something for God and to stay where we've been for years. Oh, Lord, I can tell you, I'm going to get some flack on this one already. Listen, church, you think that the Lord sends a preacher by just to let us stay in the same place we've always been? No. That's what's the matter with a bunch of preachers today. Not here, but across this country. Not necessarily in holiness. We want you to pat our pockets so much, and we don't want to tell you the truth and to try to get you out of the comfort zone. We'd rather you just pat us on the back and tell us how good we're doing. Instead of telling you you ain't doing worth nothing, you'd better get up from where you are, or we're all going to go to hell. These preachers that tell you, give me $2,000 and you'll be out of debt.
Come on.
They're of the devil.
Come on, man.
You give them $2,000, all's going to happen. They're going to be out of debt and you're going to be paying for it.
Come
on. Come on, now you know how the preaching right. We could stay in this palace all we wanted, sir. But from where we are, it's never going to get done. Same view. I got so much preaching to do, I'm trying to slow down just a minute here. We got so many good musicians in our churches.
Come on.
We've got good preaching.
Come on.
We've got good testifiers. But have we not just come to the place where we're willing to come to church? Say, come on, King. Give me some more of that food. Keep on playing, boys. I'm enjoying that music. Preacher, surely you can preach harder than that. Wouldn't you sweat a little more? Put some more effort in it. While you sit back and twiddle your thumbs in your comfort. Our service is dry. We ain't nothing happening, really. What did you do for it? Lord God. Oh, I better get back up here where I can't see them. Oh! Lord, I hope I can preach to you tonight and not make you too mad. But if it's inevitable, church, we need to take a look around and realize that the temperature of our church world is not where it needs to be. That the gates are on fire and the walls are broken down and the charismatics ain't going to fix them. I said, Ron Parson, he ain't going to fix it. If it's going to get done, it's going to take Nehemiah. I'm willing to leave the palace and get back among the people and say, here we come to do something for you, Lord. Praise God. We're going to have a right on revival this night, ain't we? Lord God. Leonard Ravenhill says, he said, a preacher needs to stir up a riot or a revival. Somebody say amen. That's exactly what we need. We need to get so stirred up and we decide what side of the fence we're going to get on, and we're going to fight it out on that side. I don't know about you. shepherd for the Lord, than I would, come on now, I said, than I would to sit back and do nothing. I'd rather lift my hands and nothing happen. I'd rather run for the Lord and it be dry as to sit there where I sat for years and nothing move me and nothing touch me. I wish somebody lift their hand and I'd help it preach. Feel like preaching tonight. I said, I'd rather make an effort for God and it fail than to sit right where I sat for years. Hey, smile, oh, heavenly sweet Lord. Hey, some of you need to get up and make an effort for God. You've been sitting there so long. You ain't done nothing for God so many years. And if you was to get up and the devil wasn't held on a rocking chair, if you was to get up and scare him to death, and he'd fall off of it. Come on now. I said, some of you need to get up and make an effort for God. You need to do something, my Lord and my God. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but you know it's the truth, ma'am. You ain't done nothing for God in years. People just don't do it right. I don't like the way they do it. Yeah, at least they got anointed when they done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't. We don't need to talk about it. We need to say, if you're going to work on the walls, we're going too. And we're going to get in here and march beside of you. And we're going to see if we can get this thing built back the way it needs to be. Somebody say amen. You see, life is full of risks. And that's something that we're not willing to take. They say that the average millionaire went broke somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 times before he ever hit it big. But he took risks. We've been in our rut so long, it's time we get out. You see, that's the way the Lord works, is pulls us in and out of ruts. When we get in them, He pulls us out. Come on now. When we get in them, He pulls us out. He's always pushing us every time. Listen here, I can done tell that this is probably not going to go high. But I can, every time I feel like I'm getting comfortable with what I'm doing, I can rest assured that it ain't going to be long. I'm going to feel something pushing me out of the nest. Why do you think that Moses went from his mother's arms? He went straight from there into the river. Then from the river, he's in that rough river, and then they took him to the palace. And then he left the palace and ended up back in the desert. After he got out of the desert, he had to go back to Egypt. Come on now. And as soon as he's comfortable again with Egypt, the Lord said, you're going to the wilderness. You can't stay nowhere long. God's going to stir you up. I know this is hard preaching, but it's the gospel. God will stir you up, sir, when you get lax and cold. God will move you somehow. Lord God, I wish I could preach, Brother Mike. I wish I could do it tonight. But I feel like I'm a struggling, but I'm a talking to you at the least. You know it's the truth. We got to get busy. I'm working for the Lord. I'm before the whole bunch of us go to hell. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. I told my pastor, I said, doors. He'll have to fix it. God will have to do it. I'll tell you something, Brother Mike. It would have been so easy for me to go back to that job. I'm making anywhere from $800 to $1,500 a week most of the time. It's been so easy to go back. But there's already something been stirring in my soul. I said, I'd rather die over there than to live here. But you'll not eat none of it. You'll not be a partaker. So in order to get the king's message and the Lord's message out to the king, out of nowhere in verse number 3 of 2 Kings chapter number 7, the Lord throws in these four leprous men just to let the plan of God go forward. And all of a sudden, these four men got to talking amongst themselves and thinking. Wouldn't it do us some good to think?
Yes.
They got to thinking, boy, what we've been doing ain't working.
Right.
Lord, help me tonight. What I've been doing ain't working.
Touching God.
It ain't got nobody saved yet.
Come on,
church. I'm trying to preach to you. I hope you don't fall out with me. I tell some of us, what you've been doing just ain't getting the job done. Why don't we look at it, stop back and look at ourselves and examine me, preacher. It's what I'm doing. Is it working? Is it bringing more to Christ? Is it having the power of God in our services? Am I helping or am I hurting the service? It would do us good to stop and to look, are we helping? Are we doing good or are we hindering what God is trying to do? Talk amongst ourselves. And finally they come up with the conclusion. We don't got nothing to lose. We might as well try while we can. Let somebody say amen. Wouldn't it do us some good tonight to try while we could? Wouldn't it do us some good tonight to get the attitude? And I'd rather make an effort for God. And I'd rather try tonight to worship the Lord. I've been sitting where I've been sitting for all this time. Ain't they, some of you ain't got the Holy Ghost. And you need the Holy Ghost. But look, the way you've been trying to get it, you're never going to get it. Because you ain't putting out that effort. To push inside the kingdom of God. You've just been sitting there watching, hoping. He been sitting there watching, hoping maybe the Lord will move on me. You know how you're going to get the Holy Ghost? If you make up your mind, I'm going to get inside that city. If it's the last thing I do tonight, there's something on the inside there that I'm wanting. I'm going to make my effort to get inside the city walls tonight. Some of you need to make up your mind right now before I ever get done preaching. And I'm going to get on the inside of that city. And I'm going to get everything that God's got for me. But you know something? You know one thing that keeps us out?
Touching God.
Fear.
Right.
something for the Lord, and as soon as you start it, you're...
Hold it.
Sure. You better not act like that.
Come on, little girl.
I remember I had no longer just got in church. As one woman, we always knew, Brother Mike, who was going to do what. There was always a certain few that was going to get in and the rest was going to sit there. Sound familiar? And we knew who was going to get in, who was going to sit there, and who was going to walk, who was going to run. But I got stirred up. I wanted to be one of them that was getting in. I got tired of sitting there, Brother Mike. Can I say this?
Come on.
We know Brother Jerry's going to get in. We know it ain't going to take much to just get him fired up. He's going to preach, take over on the preacher. Sing, roll, get in. And that ain't bad. I ain't down, and that's good.
Come on.
But we pretty much got it figured out who's going to do what. We know it about what time of the service now, how it gets, that Sister So-and-so is going to come out of there with a word from the Lord. But what about you? We don't. I ain't been around here too long, Brother Mike, but I've already figured out that one little brother back there is going to get in. If nobody else does. This fella right here, you can mark it down. At some point, he's going to grab that Bible and get in. Preaching to me and you. But I just ain't emotional. You would be if the Lord ever got on you just right. When the Lord gets on you just right, you've got to have a release valve somewhere. Some people run, some people cry. Sometimes when it gets on me, I'm like a steam kettle boy. I go, wow, wow. But you'll do something if He touches you. Come on now, you know what you're in need of. You ain't in need of an emotional high. You're needing a touch from God. But that's exactly what we're in need of. Yeah, this is the famous message, and that we're not preaching to those that always get in. I'm concerned about why you always sit there when the young people are praying and you're never in the front with them. I'm concerned with you, sir, why you never have tears running down your face. I'm concerned with you, ma'am, why it's always your children and you never come there with them. That's what's bothering me tonight. We're sitting in the palace while everybody else is on the wall. Brother Mike, there's some of you. I need to get up and say, I'd rather die over there and to live where I've been for years. We can get, there'll still be 20% of it.
Why?
That's in La La Land. Can I tell you without hurting your feelings?
You don't have a burden.
It's tough, but it's right. If you had a burden, you'd be weeping. You'd be praying. But it's not, listen, church, it's not different ones. Sometimes we all get down. And we ain't as gyro as the next guy. And I don't even know you that well, but there's some of you that's not moved all week.
you claim, nothing's wrong with my spirituality. But you look it up anywhere, any instance where Jesus touched a man, he went away leaping, rejoicing, and praising God. And let me ask you again, why are you not? This is bothering you, ain't it? I'm trying to kick you out of the nest, sir. You need to fly. There's more potential in you than what you're putting out. There's more in there than what you're letting on there is. You've got more talents than you're using. But you're comfortable in the king's palace.
Mike, this all right? That's all I got.
These boys that were outside the city, do you know what they always done? They wandered.
Yes.
What would it be like to feel what the preacher's feeling? What would it be like to get on the inside of there and just find out what they got? You see, there's always that group, and I know I'm boring some of you, but I'm talking to some of you and you're listening. There's always that group. I've preached revival after revival for nearly 3 years, night after night. And there's always a bunch, almost in every church I go to, that's good people. Good people. But they're always on the outside looking in. Come on now. Everybody's shouting and they're on the outside looking inside at what they're doing. Every time the move of God comes by, they're on the outside looking in. God, I feel the Lord here. I wish I could get this out to you. But oh, if I tried, they wouldn't nothing happen, preacher. Some of you sitting right here would love to run. You'd love to jump. You'd love to make an effort for God. But that devil has tormented you. And as soon as you do it, you're going to make a fool of yourself. Ain't nothing going to happen when you move. It's a waste of time for you to try. I'll tell you something. I can't tell you how many times in the Bible that it says as they went. Hey, sometimes you don't feel like it. You just got to get up by faith and lift your hands and worship the Lord anyways. Hey, come on now. It ain't every time I wake up and I feel like I'm going to preach the roof down tonight. Hey, sometimes I wake up and I don't even feel like a preacher. But I have to do it by faith. I have to step up and say I or rather make an effort for God. I'm there to die and not doing nothing. Hey, some of you want to lift a hand and say, I'd rather die doing something for the Lord than I would just to sit there in the state of do nothing. I'd rather do something for God.
I'm not here to be teaching. I don't believe in teaching nobody to speak in tongues or teaching them to dance. But there ain't a thing wrong with you lifting your hands before you feel something. There ain't a thing wrong with you saying praise God before you've got the goosebumps all over you. There ain't a thing wrong with you saying, preacher, I'd just like to say what God's done. I'd just like to say hallelujah to the Lord. Come on now. Sometimes you've got to get out of what's comfortable and out into the faith world. Feel nothing. The reason you don't feel nothing is because you're in a place you've been for years. Get up. I'd rather see you walking and then halfway around the church fall and to sit there and do nothing. I'd rather see you lift your hands and nothing come by and help you as I would to see you sit there twiddling your thumbs the whole service.
Brother Micah. But there's a real need in this hour for folks that get an attitude. I'd rather die over there and to live right here where I've been for years. I'd rather make an effort for God than to do nothing. I don't know about you. Lift my hands and say praise God as I sit there while the rocks cry out in my place. I'd rather die over there. Somebody obey the Lord right here. Somebody rather die over there and to live where you been. I know you're afraid, but get out of there. If you want help from God, move.